Good day. Welcome to this edition of IACP Insights. This is episode 2 on Thursday, May 9th, recording in the morning because we have a number of pressing issues. I am Vince Tolucci. I'm the Executive Director and CEO of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. And I am joined today by Terry Cunningham, IACP Deputy Executive Director / Chief Operating Officer, past President 2015-2016, and Chief of Wellesley, Massachusetts Police Department for a period of 17 years. Is that right, Terry?
Very good introduction, sir. Thank you.
So we want to do a couple things today. Again, the goal of these podcasts, these mini micro / podcasts, are to provide a brief snapshot of what's happening in the world of IACP. From an insider's perspective, just to give you some perspective on what's going on. Our primary topic today is going to be upcoming Police Week next week, happening in the United States in Washington, D.C., and other venues around the world. But first, we want to talk about topics that may be percolating in the police world. And I think one of those topics that's percolating in the police world this week was a report that came out of an organization that spoke to a positive corner being turned on the recruiting and retention crisis within policing in the United States. That it appears that things are trending in the right direction. We have some mild concerns with that report, and our concerns are growing a bit as that report is being picked up by media. So I'm going to turn it over to Terry to talk about the report, but let me first talk a little bit about the construct of how that report came to be. A survey was done of a little bit more than 200 policing agencies, which essentially accounts for a little bit more than 1% of the total police departments in the United States. Not necessarily a representative sample, which is being extrapolated to say within those 214 agencies, everything's okay, and extrapolating to the broader policing profession in the United States that the recruitment and retention challenges are over. I've witnessed myself a few media reports to say, hey, great news, policing's turned the corner. But I'm going to turn it over to Terry, because Terry, I don't think that was necessarily the experience that you had on the IACP listening tours where we went around to jurisdictions around the country with President of IACP, and heard directly from both IACP members and non-members alike regarding what their experience was or is with recruitment and retention. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Vince. Appreciate it, and appreciate being here this morning. As we traveled around the country and had those conversations, the number one issue every place that we went was the recruitment and retention issues that we're seeing in the profession. And somebody actually referred to it as trying to fill a glass with no bottom in it. As they keep putting it in, there are people leaving the profession, and unfortunately, you're trying to fill it up, and the recruits just aren't there to try and backfill those vacancies that they have. Number one issue, and as you said, members and non-members, whether they were college and universities, whether they were state, local, or even federal agencies, they were all facing the same challenges. I mean, just anecdotally, if you look at the LAPDs that are down by thousands of officers right here in metropolitan DC, they're down by thousands of officers as well. And everybody's essentially kind of fishing from the same pond and trying to find the best recruits that they can to backfill. And we've heard the same challenges from our federal partners, whether it's the Marshal Service, FBI, DEA, and ATF as well.
So, and we could sit here and complain about it and on this podcast, or we could dig into it and figure out, verifying the survey that went out and or the feedback that we got from the listening sessions. So I think one of the things we're going to do way forward for us is to get with our state associations of chiefs of police division, which is the leadership, elected and staff leadership of all the state associations that around the United States, to get their gauge on it, because I think the state associations keep their finger on the pulse of their respective state happenings.
Yeah.
So getting with them to get the feeling of, is this what you're seeing, feeling, experiencing in your respective state, to be able to get a better sense of where the truth lies. Sure.
Yeah, I think that the concern that I have is if people have started to say that we've turned the corner when in fact we really haven't, then we're going to lose focus on the issue, right? We're still trying to recruit more females into the profession as well. We're still trying to recruit more minorities into the profession. And I think it's going to hurt our ability to recruit people in. And right now we've got people talking about it, whether it's across the administration, whether it's folks in Congress. And I think that conversation needs to stay in the forefront so that we can try to figure out how we work ourselves out of this crisis.
So, and the media reports that I saw were almost like spiking the football.
That's exactly,
things are good now.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily what we're seeing.
No.
Okay, very good. So more to come on that. One other brief update and follow-up from podcast number one. And at some point, we'll stop numbering these, Terry. So we're only at number two. So it seems appropriate to say we're at podcast number two. But in podcast number one, we spoke about the marijuana scheduling. Any updates on where we are with marijuana discussions happening here in Washington, D.C.?
No, clearly that's a priority for us to keep an eye on it. And when it's appropriate for us to weigh in, we will certainly do that when they allow for public comment, because there are concerns. Clearly, IACP has got a longstanding position opposed to legalizing marijuana. Our biggest concern is that right now, chiefs can kind of hang their hat on the fact that you're federally prohibited from carrying a firearm if you use marijuana. And that's our biggest concern. If that changes, we can only imagine when we're talking about officer safety and wellness, what does that mean when you have an officer that's actually using marijuana and then they have to go to work? And there's no way to test for it, right? Mm-hmm. And an officer shows up and they're under the influence of marijuana, there's no way to test for it.
So a long way to go on this stuff.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. All right. So let's turn our attention to Police Week. Terry's a longstanding police officer. I just want to get your knee-jerk reaction to what Police Week means to you.
Yeah. When I look back on it and reflect on it over the years, Vince, it's a solemn time, but it's also an opportunity for us to celebrate the lives of those officers that, were lost in the line of duty. It's also an opportunity for family and friends and fellow officers to come together. There's so many different opportunities during Police Week, whether it's peer support opportunities there, whether it's the candlelight vigil and other things that we'll get into. But I think it's really important to note that this goes way back to the early 60s, right? In the 60s when Congress enacted it and then President Kennedy signed in the proclamation to say that May 15th would be Peace Officer Memorial Day, and then that week would be designated as Police Week. So a lot going on next week.
All right. And again, it's sad as you see those buses of family members rolling in with the police escorts. But it is a solemn week where a lot of things are going on, and we want to give you a sense of what those things are, and not only tribute to the officers, but also other things around policing, whether they're policy discussions happening, because the policing world almost descends on Washington, D.C. For Police Week, to give you a sense of what's going on. First are, the folks that carry the banner for Police Week, largely Fraternal Order of Police, mm-hmm. Concerns of Police Survivors, and the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund.
Yes.
They are the three-legged stool that brings all of this together with supporting organizations around them. So hats off to the leadership of COPS, FOP, and Memorial Fund.
Yeah, no, 100%. And without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do to kind of celebrate those officers and their lives and the officers that were lost in the line of duty, and to bring the families in. I mean, the concerns of police survivors, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but they're just integral to what we do to try to make sure that those families understand, the families and friends, and understand that they're not forgotten, even though their loved ones have lost their lives in the line of duty.
Now, and I'm honored to serve on the Memorial Fund board, and I know a lot of work, the staff that goes into making this a memorable and moving experience. They do an awesome job, so kudos to them. So let's talk about the week a little bit. The week has expanded beyond a week a bit. Case in point, today, Thursday, May 9th, we have a memorial service that we'll be attending at DHS headquarters with Secretary Mayorkas. We then go into the weekend with a number of things and activities happening around Washington, D.C., and Monday comes. And as Terry referenced, the candlelight vigil is Monday night. And the candlelight vigil will have the names of those officers that are being inscribed in the memorial read aloud on the DC Mall in front of, I think it's a crowd now, about 25,000.
Actually about 40.
About 40.
Yeah.
That's really remarkable. And having had the honor to read a few names to the audience, but specifically to the family members, it's hugely moving. And watching the candlelight spread from the front to the back is something to behold. But the spirit and energy and the pain that comes from that audience is something to really take with you into the work, Terry.
Yeah, probably one of the greatest professional experiences of my life was to be up there on that dais and to read the names of officers that had fallen in the line of duty that past year. And as you said, Vince, to look out at that sea of candles that you see there and see the family members in the front and then the brother and sister officers there, it's incredible. And then to have the dignitaries that sit up there on the dais from, the director of the FBI, the Attorney General of the United States there, the DEA Administrator, Marshal Service, ATF, they're all there. And I think this is really the opportunity where they officially designate those names that are going to be added to the memorial. And it's a really important time for the families and friends and fellow officers.
So around other events, also that's Monday the 13th. On Tuesday the 14th, we'll have an opportunity to attend the COPS Gala, Concerns of Police Survivors Gala, which we make a point of attending because not only of the value of COPS, the huge value of COPS, but the poignantness of that event, the family members there that are gathered, the survivors. It means a great deal to be a part, and we're honored to partner with COPS on a regular basis. Terry?
Yeah, I think that the gala is an important event. One, because it's a huge fundraising opportunity for COPS, and the COPS are the Concerns of Police Survivors. But again, as I mentioned earlier, it's also an opportunity to kind of celebrate the lives of those officers that were lost over this past year, and the officers that have been lost previously. I mean, currently there's over 24,000 names, unfortunately, on that inscribed on the wall at the memorial. And you think about those 24,000 names and you think of all those family members, and whether it's brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles, friends and coworkers. And this, the gala is an opportunity, to come together and again, to kind of celebrate and they usually have a speaker that gets up and talks about, their loved one that was lost. And it's a very, very emotional time, but it's a great event.
So then we transition to Wednesday, and again, May 15th, Peace Officers Memorial Day. You want to talk a little bit about the FOP event that happens at the Capitol?
Sure. So probably one of the largest events, as big, if not bigger, than the candlelight vigil that we see on Monday night. Wednesday on the west lawn of the United States Capitol, you'll see thousands of family members, police officers, all there to kind of celebrate the lives of the officers that were lost during this past year. It's usually presided over by the President of the United States. Typically the president's there. Our president, the president of ICP, has been invited over the last few years to also join the president, Patrick Yost of the Fraternal Order of Police, on the dais as well. And again, all the dignitaries from the Attorney General are there. On down, but it's a great opportunity for again families and friends to get together, and I think that's part of that whole peer support and kind of leaning on each other, and it's as I said at the beginning, it's solemn, but it's also a celebration. So it's a necessary part of the process.
And if you're in DC during Police Week, visit the wall.
Yeah, so the wall is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's incredible. It's right there in Judiciary Square. It's all marble, and the names that are inscribed on it. And every time I go there, I've got friends that I know are on the wall. But during Police Week, it's particularly just an emotional event to go there and to see it and to see the things that folks leave behind, whether it's notes from, you know, sons and daughters or mothers and fathers, or it's, you know, just little things that they leave, whether they're dolls or, you know, it's actually really, it's sad, but it's also, you know, kind of, just very emotional.
And there's a host of ceremonies happening throughout the week as
Yeah, I can't remember which day it is. I think it's on Saturday, where they actually continuously read the names of every officer that's on that wall, right? And they do the wreath laying as well there. I think this weekend, on this Saturday, there's actually the police canine memorial that they do there as well. And then the officer memorial down page also does their 5K road race this week.
Okay, yeah. Very good. And right across from the wall is the museum. So take the time, if you have it, to swing by the law enforcement museum that was built several years ago as paying homage to policing, the history of policing, and again, those that have fallen.
Yeah, no, you take the opportunity. They're both, as you said, Vince, they're both in really close proximity. It's great to be able to go there and kind of see the history of policing. What always strikes me during Police Week, when I walk around the both the museum and the memorial, is it hits me that these officers that lost their lives in the last year and the ones previously, in many, if not most cases, they were protecting people that they didn't even know. Right, they put themselves completely in harm's way. You know, the ultimate selflessness, the acts of courage that these folks, you know, endured. It's really pretty incredible. And to take the entire week and just immerse yourself in it, it's really something else.
And to switch gears a bit, policy discussions happening next week. I know we have briefings with the president of ICP, Wade Carpenter, with the FBI, with DEA, where I'm sure there'll be a broader conversation regarding the present state of marijuana, and DOJ. We'll have a chance to sit down with the principals of each one of those entities to have important substantive conversations about things that are going on, threats and policy, concerns, disconnects, approaches. We'll be on the discussion list for next week as well.
Yeah, and I think each one of those, particularly whether they're the components of DOJ or others, whether it's CBP, they each have their own ceremonies as well, where they kind of honor the valor and service of their folks that lost their lives both during this past year and previously. So you have a kind of a combination of the policy discussions going on. They take that opportunity, which is great. Yep. I really appreciate that, to have the opportunity to sit at the table and have a direct conversation with the Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, or, you know, the Director of the FBI, and talk about the challenges that we face or concerns that we have together, particularly as we go into this, you know, this election year, you know, concerns about that, concerns about what we're seeing on the campuses and universities right now, and you know, some of the protests and outside agencies being called in to assist with that while still trying to balance First Amendment, you know, rights and rights of free speech. There's just a lot going on right now. And I know they try and jam it all in during Police Week, but it's a really important time.
I know. And we'll continue to have those conversations and update the members, non-members who may be listening to ICP Insights as we go forward. Because again, there's a lot that happens. I think in episode one, if you haven't listened to it, please do. But there's a lot of intricacies that go on to the happenings of making things move or not move, depending on the situation. And we'll be back with more substantive conversations. This week, we really wanted to focus on the importance of and significance of Police Week. So with that, Terry, any parting comments before we close?
No, I guess my parting comment would just be that it's a great time to pay homage to those that gave their life to service. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. And we appreciate all the families and all that they've had to endure. So, I appreciate being here, Vince.
Oh, here, here. Thanks. Thanks, Terry, for being with us today. Again, be on the lookout for episode 3, and we'll likely provide an update on Police Week looking back, as well as dig into some policy things that may be on the fore for us at the time. So with that, thanks for listening, and we will talk with you soon.